The following podcast contains some strong language. Sorry. I mean effing sorry.
Hello and welcome to Series 2, Episode Last of Podcast. Sorry for that bit of spectrum bleepery, but I thought I'd add some variety to the pod flip. Of course, as I just said, it's the pod flip, and I'm going over everything that I've done wrong and some responses to some interviews. Wonderful. So, what have I got? Well, I'm going to go over with a medley of what we've been going through over the past 5 episodes. I mean, we've got the childhood memories, into which I've got some, which I'll talk about. We've got some more Amiga music, we've got some more Atari music, and if I can be bothered, I'll finish off with a remix or something. I don't know. So, well, what was that you just heard a moment ago? That was Paul Roberts, aged 9, doing a type-in, playing Hey Jude for the CPC. It was one of the first little type-in programs that I played, because you could either type it in, as was shown in the magazine, or you could wait until the next cover tape, into which the editorial team would have typed it in for you, and you just load it up for the lazy. I don't believe that kid was 9 years old, no. Anyway, we just had Vindicators a moment ago, and now it's Deactivators, which is a whole load of complicated rooms, and you control robots that are stuck in each part of the room, and you pick up bombs, and you all work together in wonderful time-lapse wonderfulness to defuse the bombs by chucking them out the window. Wonderful. So let's see, let's have some memories. Okay. Right. From Ian R. Solfox of Tapestry's Muck. Hello. He was the first one to sort of get in contact and told me that
computers were hard for me to get to unless they were in school.
He's considerably older than me, so I can comprehend with what he's saying. Sorry, that sounds rude, me saying completely older. But anyway, he's not that older than me. Probably a few years between it.
I wanted one of those Apple II PCs that were at my school.
So, the Apple II, simple blip-blop, little piezo speaker. Well, actually, it wasn't a piezo speaker, it was using the tape drive. All the same, you could add an AY chip via the mocking board.
My folks have spent nearly $1,000 on this hunk of junk IBM beast with a yellow colour monitor.
Sounds like the IBM PC Junior.
I gave up on that IBM business box and went to the NES.
On to another AY variation.
And it sort of built up after that.
Sounds good. Another person who I spoke to was Scarson of, or Scarks, or whatever. Somebody, another person from Tapestry's Muck. And he was talking about the first game and console that he had was the old school Mario on the NES. What a surprise. But the first game that he really appreciated for the music would have been Donkey Kong Country 2, which the SNES, not also known for its 8-channel sound and acts a bit like a mod for the Amiga, but also the Donkey Kong Country series on the SNES, which was basically Nintendo's prototype for the N64 using SNES hardware. That was wonderful, I must say. And of course, he's for his favourite music, he's going considerably more recent by saying that it was Tales of Legendia on the PS2, saying that how amazing it was. I might actually cover the PSX and the PS2 at a later series. In fact, I've actually planned it, because it did use chip music, believe it or not. It wasn't all orchestra music and trying to play off a CD player. No, no, no. Koju Reinar. He's younger than me, so he had a SNES, but does remember playing on a Master System too, so he has some experience of playing with 8-bit, which is quite nice. What else? Well, the first game that Kai played would have been Sonic the Hedgehog 1. I'm a bit reluctant to actually play Sonic music because it's stuff that everybody knows and I'm trying to get into the sort of go under the bed and try and find the tunes that you might not have heard of. So he didn't actually get into music until games went into 3D, which I find a shame, but as I said, he's younger than me. For the PS2, he realised that the music made for those games were really good, so he got into Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy IX. This was at the time when Nobuo Uematsu was using chip music to actually save on processing power for the PSX, so the rest of Squaresoft could actually put their power into the graphics and the gameplay and everything else. We have another memory. A South African, a Hunter from ICQ, contacted me to say that his first computer was the 386 XT. So that would have either been a piezo speaker, or if he had the ball to install a sound card, it would have been, in my opinion, it would have been a MIDI. Anyway, he went computer before console, which is quite a strange way to go through it, but that's just opinion. The first game that he played, King's Quest III. Don't know about that. Don't know what King's Quest III is, but he seemed quite excited. And the music that he first appreciated would have been that from Unreal 2004, which, I'm sorry to say, that's not chip music, and that's when the games developers did all their games music using OGG encoding. If you don't know what OGG is, it's a derivative of MP3. It's an alternative. Yippee. Must be very pleased. He was a late comer to games and consoles. I'm not going to say much on that. Tull, who actually requested one of the tunes on the Amiga podcast, stated a very large section saying that his first computer was a ZX Spectrum 48K, and he remembers it like it was yesterday, because he was explaining how it was £120 and he bought it for Christmas 1983. Good grief. Before then, he had several TV games, using an orange box with four games. So it would have been one of those standalone things where you would just turn the dial and you would get a different game. Usually on the Atari boxes, you would get Pong, Breakout, Basketball, maybe some crummy soccer derivative. But Terrell continues, saying that this unit consisted of a pair of handheld boxes connected by a lead, as you do, one box holding a 9-volt battery and the other the circuitry, aerial leads to the TV, and he's still quite pleased that he still has them. The first game that he actually played would have been Pong, available on this box, not the original Pong, but a derivative of Pong. The first ZX Spectrum game he played would have been the actual Horizons tape that came free with the Spectrum itself. But if you listened earlier on, you would have heard Manic Miner, or Halls of the Mountain King. You would not believe how much time I had to spend looking for a game called Halls of the Mountain King, just to find out that Terrell was actually on about the music from Manic Miner was called Halls of the Mountain King. The first music that he appreciated was that from Elite, and also from the laterly released Frontier Elite 2. Although they're really loading tunes, so he says, no they're not, they're actually chip tunes, they're actually in-game tunes. Really loading tunes are not generally in-game music, if you say so. They're quite popular amongst the oldies community, no offence. Someone popped his head out because of a mistransmitted message I sent to someone, and his favourite game was Final Fantasy VII. Thanks to that, good old Takashi's muck. No emails. Boo-hoo. I want to just sort of put over some addenda to my Childhood Memories podcast and just say that WEC Le Mans was inferior to Burning Rubber. Just to clarify things, Burning Rubber was a lot better than the Specky. Zybots was that doom 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 doom, the one where I was complaining about a tape motor being used as a fourth channel. I think I'll take an ad break now. Sudden pause.
The year 1940.
Just remember, the person narrating this advert is an emphysemic. Just keep that in mind.
Hitler's Nazi hordes are sweeping across Europe. Tom Cody, a young American scientist, is working late in his lab when a gift from the future suddenly materializes. Thus begins the odyssey of America's greatest hero, Rocket Ranger! As Rocket Ranger, Tom knew his efforts could turn the tide of the war. During the months ahead, he would seek out secret Nazi bases and smash them to ruins, battle leering supermen for their supply of lunarium, clear the skies of Axis air power, save beautiful women and kidnapped American scientists, while building a lunarium-powered rocket ship for a final rescue mission on the moon. But wait! Is there more to this Saturday morning serial than meets the eye? Find out in January from CinemaWare!
Look out for the amazing Commodore Amiga packs. And remember, you can win one by calling Commodore right now on 0891 1010 98 with the answers to our questions. And don't forget, all calls cost under £1. So don't miss out. Get on the phone right now for your chance to win.
Egg Tart Time, Krang!
Connect Electron. Connect Electron. Push analog. Push, 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 push analog. Stand clear. Start CPR.
I want that shit, not excuses.
Motion detected. Stop motion.
Like I made it. Nah, you can't catch me.
He will join us or die.
Oh, crap. Well, it looks like that I've got an additional one as well, an extra childhood memory. Although it's not much, it's just the answer to some questions. First computer that Cedric Novastar had was an Amiga 500. Oh, well done him. Apparently Amiga 500s were a very common starting step for the US teenager. Apparently his dad gave him one. The first game that he played was Red Baron, and the first game which he appreciated the music more than the game was Final Fantasy IX. So another Uematsu hit with the PlayStation chip. Oh, and it looks like I've been given an additional message. Just by post. Officially dimped. Why your self-pity to make others feel siri for you? Need to have everything way or knit at all. The lack of care about he others file. The sticking and manipulating. The fact that you were behind my bick and getting her villain tinnids cards. Oh, good grief, this kid spells like a preschooler.
Technical difficulties. Please wait.
Yes, sorry, I'm back. I'm sorry about that little tantrum. It's just that there's three types of people I hate: Linux users, hypocrites, and people who can't spell worth a damn. In ascending order. Anyway, I'm just about to wrap this lovely podcast series to a close. Thank you very much for listening, if you have been listening. If you've been scanning through it, thank you for scanning through it. Tell your friends, tell your mates, blah 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 blah. How was this series made? It was made using a Vigilant Genie, courtesy of the University of Surrey, which contained a SoundMax internal sound card. Why? Because the Audigy Sound Blaster 2 and the PC that contains it is currently inside a box in archive, waiting for me to move to other premises or use at a later point. Audacity has helped, Wikipedia has helped, a few small bits of encouragement over the past few months. Regrets I have is that I wasn't any more funny, I haven't got a better podcast producer publishing website, and the great big regret I have is that I haven't made an audio interview with anybody yet. It's all been proxy. Oh dear. I suggest that you buy the new book, Metal Gear Solid, by Raymond Benson, because it's a computer game and it had wonderful music. You want to know the ISBN? 9781841497358. It is a novelisation of the first Metal Gear Solid. Wonderful. I've been GGU Draco. I have been here for the past 6 episodes. You have been listening to the CPC, the ZX, the Commodore 64, the Commodore 16, the Commodore Plus 4. Actually, that reminds me, I haven't played any Commodore 16 in this pod flip. So here's 16 seconds of Commodore 16. And of course, plus 4 seconds of Commodore Plus 4. Lovely. Well, I'll just get back to the list. You have, throughout this series, you have been listening to the ZX, the Commodore 64, the Amstrad CPC, the Commodore Amiga, the Atari ST, the Commodore 16, and the Commodore Plus 4. Thank you very much for listening. I am in the way of planning the third series. Yes, there will be one. Wow, wow. I'm planning for it to be a Sega series, but the first episode will be at around October, November time, when I will be introducing a Halloween podcast. See you then. Oh, thank goodness I'm the DJ for all this. You'd never catch me doing that singing malarkey. Once you were with a Todd, I knew we would split apart. I started to cry, I didn't know why I left you. Once you were with a Todd, I knew that this just would start. I started to cry, I didn't know why I left you. Everybody said I was stupid to let you go, so I went and joined the Marines, and they said come in, and I handed them a piece of paper, and then I filled it out, and then they put a stamp on it, and then said go to the battlefield. No! Bang! bang, gore, bloody explosions, aliens and figgies, Eye of Horus and Evil Cube, nasty things, Game Workshop sucks. Oh, bang, 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 a roller d6, bang, bang, a roller d4, no. When I went to Game Workshop, I found I was so sad I started to cry. I didn't know why I went there. When I went to Game Workshop, I was so sad I started to cry. They didn't know why I left them alone. They were starting painting some shit, and I went and they were still painting some stuff. Thank you for listening to Podcast Series 2.
If you would like more information as to what will be in Series 3, you can email the DJ at pohd-cahst@podomatic.com. Alternatively, you can use the RSS feed, or you can contact the author using his various instant messaging protocols. Your host was GGUDRACO, GGEUDRACO. Regardless of what happens, listening to this podcast completely will ensure that the author will continue making more episodes and will gain an impetus towards Series 3. GGUDRACO is copyright GGUDRACO. GGUDRACO is a trademark of GGUDRACO. Junk Monkey is a trademark of Junk Monkey. Link does not exist. Junk Monkey was also unavailable.